If you're listening and you are struggling with addiction, reach out, seek help. If you're walking with someone who's struggling with addiction, remember that isolation is a key issue in keeping them stuck in their addiction. If they go and do their thing, they're going to do that. But when they're ready to come back, you're there and say, come on back. You know, if we can keep those two things in mind, that there is hope and that we need to provide belonging to those that are caught, I think we will see a huge difference in how our world deals with addiction.
That's Lanny Millett, Director of Donor Operations at the Potter's House, a faith-based addiction recovery and rehabilitation program that serves men and women at 5 residential facilities throughout Lancaster County. Hope and a sense of belonging are in abundance for the 42 men and 6 women currently in recovery at the Potter's House facilities, which they refer to as campuses. During their stay on campus, which can last anywhere from 6 to 12 months, they became students who learned how to overcome their addictions and transition to a life of rigorous discipleship and recovery. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Gifts That Give Hope podcast, celebrating the people and organizations who are true gifts to our community. I'm your host, Jen Knepper, and since 2008, I've worked with a team of local volunteers to help organize the annual Gifts That Give Hope gift fair in Lancaster. Gifts That Give Hope is a unique holiday shopping experience that brings together local small businesses and organizations that provide underserved people employment, opportunities to learn new skills, and a sense of community. Today, I'm talking with Lanny Millett, Director of Donor Operations at the Potter's House, an addiction recovery program that takes a faith-based approach to helping people struggling with addiction. Jonathan, a graduate of Potter's House, also joins us in the studio to talk about his experiences in the program.
Today we have Lanny and Jonathan here with us, and we're going to be talking about the Potter's House, which will be part of the gift fair for the second year now. And we're really excited to have you. And thinking, I know for me, one of the things I think a lot about with addiction is a story I heard on NPR a number of years ago. A group of women were getting together. It was up in like the Boston area, I want to say. And it was women who had lost a child to an overdose or who had struggled with addiction at some point. And one of them had said that when they lost their child, that people tend to not bring meals, or they felt kind of ostracized and excluded because it was different than losing a child to heart disease or some other kind of illness. Or so that really impacted me and stuck with me. And for me, it's launched me to always want to be very cognizant of the people in my life that have. I have a friend at work who lost a son to an overdose, and a good friend of mine whose former husband had passed away as well. So I try to be very mindful of that. But I did want you to kind of course, share about your work, but also share with people what you think would be a great way to walk alongside the people in their lives that have somebody who is struggling with addiction.
Well, you pointed out the real issue, and that is there's a lot of stigmatization that comes with this particular issue. And then people think that these are bad people. But right. These are not bad people. These are good people who made bad decisions at some point in their life.
As we all do.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, these decisions are often life-threatening.
Right.
And that's
right.
The difference that we are trying to address to help save lives. As you pointed out, people do lose their children or family members or their own lives to addiction. And our desire is to see them experience the heart change that comes from knowing that you have a God who loves you, who made you exactly how you are, and wants the world to see them through that lens, through the lens that God made them perfectly in His image. And so that's what we're just striving to help them find their way back to that. I mean, they never lost it, but sometimes it takes help to get back in perspective. So as you walk along with someone who has a family member or who themselves, it's not to enable or make things worse by, you know, like throwing money or that kind of thing, but it is supportive, standing mm-hmm. beside, and helping to raise the bottom. You know, they say you have to hit the bottom. No, you don't. You can raise the bottom and help them get to the point where they identify there is help out there, and I can seek that help.
Right. I like what you just said, I think there's lots of statements in life that need to get debunked. And, you know, like, I never thought about that before, but people always tend to say, like, someone needs to hit rock bottom. And if we don't, why do we have to have people get to that point? So tell us a little bit more about your work with the Potter's House.
Well, I started 9 years ago directing the men's program. We were only a men's program at that point. About 2 years ago, I semi-retired to being director of donor relations and building friendships for this ministry who will support it in many ways, and prayer being one powerful way that people can, that doesn't cost them a cent,
right?
But
right.
can be powerful in lifting us up, but also financially and as volunteers. There's a huge volunteer need, particularly people who can be available during the day to drive people to appointments. And then we have what we call mentors. So someone who stands beside the person. And I say the person now because we do have a women's program in the last 2 years, but to stand with them and just give them life advice and support and friendship that will carry beyond the program. And that's the key. You build a support system around yourself so that when you leave the structure of the program, you have a personal structure. I see Jonathan nodding. He knows that that's important to have that system. And so people can help with that.
And Jonathan, would you want to share what has your experience been with the Potter's House?
So for me, I came to Potter's House a year ago, and I didn't come in there because of addiction issues. I came because I had been in addiction years before, and I got to a state of deep depression, and I needed to get out of there. So I needed a safe place to go to regroup and refocus, and that's what Potter's House was for me. I had already had, you know, I already had a support team in place. I already had a mentor and different people in my life that, you know, have helped me. And so for me, it was, you know, getting back to what I knew God had called me to and what God's, you know, where he's been leading me. And so Potter's House was a safe place, and it was a place where I could get back to, you know, some root issues and deal with some things that had caused me to get to a place where I needed help again. And so Potter's House was, you know, was able to deal with not only with the, you know, emotional side of things, but the spiritual side of things too, which is important.
Right. So it had been somewhere that you had a relationship with before and knew you could get back in touch with them when you had a period of challenging in your life.
No. Without that, without having a support system or without having people that you can rely on, as an addict, you'll tend to go back to what you know. And so having those people in your life, like Lenny said, that will raise the bottom and aren't afraid to, is the most important thing. Like, if you don't have people who aren't willing to stand up to you and say, look, you're going in the wrong direction, you need to stop, and raising the bottom to the point where, you know, they either make the choice to do what they want to do and just leave, or they decide to get help. You know, if you, and the sad part is, as many, you know, if they allow them to leave, or if they get to the point where they make the choice to leave, you don't always know what's going to happen next. And that's the part we don't want to see.
Yeah. Do you think there was one aspect of the Potter's House or something in particular that really made the impactful life change for you?
Yeah, for me, it was, how peaceful it was where we were at, and that I didn't have to, you know, one of the things my mentor kept reminding me was that, you know, if I try to get somewhere too fast, I'll end up back at the same place. So he said, just take it slow. And so the biggest thing was that I had the space and the time. Like, I wasn't, you know, I kept being reminded, one of the things they remind you in Potter's House is, you know, how fast you're going, you know, slow down.
Yeah.
Don't go too fast.
That's like such opposite of what the world tells you to do.
Exactly.
Right.
Everybody, the world wants you to go 90 miles an hour.
Right. And you feel guilty if you don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I try to remind myself of the phrase, trust the process, because I usually tend to be like, come on, Jen, take it up the pace. And it is refreshing to hear that, because I try to say my motto for 2022 was to tell myself I'm a human being, not a human doing.
Mm. Heard that before, haven't you?
Right. Jonathan, what would you say to people who are walking alongside someone in their life that has struggled with addiction, to how to be a good friend to somebody?
So I've had somebody who's walked with me now for about 12 years. And, you know, he's somebody that when I first met him, I didn't like him. You know, I didn't like him at all because he would always call me on my stuff. The biggest thing I see a need for is, you know, to have somebody who's willing to speak the word of life into you at every moment. Like, you know, you can get mad, you can get upset and whatever, but the biggest thing you need is somebody who's willing to look at you through the eyes of Christ and not back down. You know, like they know that you, the only reason you're upset is because, you know, you're hurting and what they said caused pain, but they also, they're not afraid to say it because they know without that pain, you're not going to change. And so the biggest thing is to love somebody to the point that you're willing to say what they need to hear, regardless of the decision they're going to make, you know, and that's, you know, it takes a tough person to do that, to stand with somebody when they want to throw dirt on you and still just take it and, you know, still tell them the truth in love without, you know, getting angry or without, you know. And he hasn't been perfect, but the thing I've come to realize is I've seen his heart. You know, I've seen that no matter what, he's always there for me. And that's important. You have to, the one thing you never want to do for an addict is say you're going to be there. And then when it gets tough, walk away. Mm-hmm. You can never do that to an addict because all you're teaching them is that you can't trust people again.
Right.
Hi, everyone. It's Jen here with a quick reminder to be sure you save the date for the 15th annual Gifts That Give Hope Gift Fair, taking place on Sunday, December 11th, 2022, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Farm and Home Center. Come join us for shopping, food trucks, children's authors, holiday merriment, and meaningful gift giving. It's a wonderful way to spread holiday cheer, and your support benefits the people of Lancaster and the organizations that make our county the special place we know. You can find more information and links to the gift fair in the show notes for this podcast, as well as our website, giftsthatgivehope.org. Thank you for your support, and now let's rejoin the conversation.
One of the gifts that we have highlighted from the Potter's House that was part of the gift fair last year, and I love the way that it's worded. It says recovery and discipleship program. And it says development of personal character, reconciliation for healing, and understanding of one's own personal call and gifts and fulfilling life's purpose. And I love that because, like you said, there is such a stigma around addiction, especially, you know, every day in the news you hear something, someone passed away from an overdose, whether it's unintentional. And I think that can become people tune out, or they, like you said, have preconceived ideas. And I think what's really important about the way that's worded is to say we all have gifts that may not always be realized, but maybe going through this program can reignite some of that recognition and awareness.
Or make them aware for the first time. Yeah, they had no idea how much God had invested in them.
Right.
And then that comes out. When somebody comes out of prison or out of a longer term rehab, they often have absolutely nothing. They don't even have an identity because their wallet got stolen or taken when they got arrested or when they were out on the streets homeless. And so when they come to us, they basically are starting at ground zero. They're not, but they are. They have to rebuild everything. But the cool thing about that then is you can throw out the stuff that wasn't working and you can build new skills. We had identified five aspects of our curriculum. That was to become a person of faith, to become an overcomer, and that's for the addiction, a reliable friend, a competent person, and a confident leader. And the competent person involves learning how to handle finances, learning, you know, going back to school if that's what's necessary, identifying your skills for a job. Because built into the program, after the first phase where you're just at the Stillwater, I mean, that's our new facility, and it really is a peaceful setting right on the Conestoga River with a porch overlooking that. It just creates an environment of peace. But you can't stay there forever. At some point, you have to move back into the community. And I think that's another distinctive of the Potter's House is you don't stay in the bubble. You then go to the next phase where you are in a supported house with programming. Basically, every night, there's something going on that you need to go to, but you're allowed to secure a job. And there are some great employers in this area who are willing to give people second chances. And so we have found those, identified those, helped people get connected to those folks. And then they begin to work and begin to save money. And we have a person on our staff who's great with finances, and he helps them to build budgets, but not only budgets, but savings accounts. And also they begin to pay for themselves in the program. Like I said, when they came, they had nothing, but now they can start to pay back some of what was donated for them. Now, obviously not all of it. It costs a whole lot more to run the program than what we would expect the students to pay, but it just gives them that sense of pride. Now, I'll let John speak to that, because I didn't do it, but I see it. I see it all the time that, wow, I am able to save money. I've never been able to do that. I do a group on forgiveness, and they often come out of that saying, wow, I wish I had known this 5 years ago. You know, that my life would be different, because they understand the bitterness that grows when you hold on to something, that unforgiveness. And there's something in the scripture about that.
Right. You
know, in the Lord's Prayer,
right.
You know, forgive as you wish to be forgiven,
right.
Or as you forgive.
Lanny, I wondered if you wanted to speak a little bit about one of our other gifts that goes towards the Potter's House is the safe housing and restoration at the Potter's House of Ruth for the women's residential program. I wondered if you could share a little bit about that.
So again, when I was director, I would take the phone calls of people wanting to place somebody. And I was consistently hearing, when are you going to do something for women? Because there's just not much out there to help women. And so several years ago, 2017, actually, our board decided that in our capital campaign, we would include creating this a similar program. It's a very similar program to the men's program, but it obviously has some differences, because typically women are more responsible for their children than men are. That's not totally true, but typically that's more true. So the pull of children is much harder. So we have to find ways to deal with that in the program. And I won't say that we've totally resolved that, but that is something that we're looking at for the future, how to help with that. But what we have provided is a beautiful house in a neighborhood. It's not out in the middle of the country. It's in a neighborhood close to buses. We are providing, like with the men's program, a phase one where you are just there with the staff being loved on, but also being challenged, like Jonathan talked about, where there are things that are holding you back that need to be stripped away. We have been using a program called Restoring the Foundations, which basically looks at spiritual roots of addiction, because we believe strongly that that's where it starts. And if you can root out those issues, those things, those generational curses come along, and
the traumas that come from, I was just reading about that.
Yeah. Or even in my own situation, I grew up in a family where addiction was prevalent in the generations above me. And so, you know, you hear that this is something that you inherit. Well, you know, praise God, I was able to, through God entering my life, overcome that and not follow the path of most of the men in my family into, you know, alcoholism. But a lot of people have to work through that. There are people who came through the program whose parent got them hooked on drugs. You know, that was, I mean, that shouldn't happen, but it does. And again, I won't judge that parent, because I don't walk their shoes, and they had the generations impacting that. So in the women's program, we deal with those same issues. So really, it's very similar to the men's program, but just basically most of the staff, or all of the staff that are actually living in, are female. I do go in and do my forgiveness group now, and they are now combining the two houses for classes in the morning. So that's giving some social connections, some different perspectives, male-female perspectives, in a controlled setting. In a local church, Breakout Church has made their fellowship room. So I don't know if I fully answered your question, but really it's a very similar program, but with the focus on women. Now, one of the things that's been hard is I got all those phone calls saying, when are you going to do something? But it's still been hard to get those referrals into the house. Primarily, I think, because of that children issue, that a lot of women are looking for a program where they can take their kids with them. And we are not there at this point. We would separate the woman from her children for a period of time to get herself back together so that then she's in a better situation to care for her children.
It's tricky to find that.
So the ones who have a family member who can care for their children while they're in the program are the ones that have been able to come and be in our program. But we continue to work at it, and we're making an impact there. And so it's been, I think, a real positive thing. We're excited. One in the next capital campaign will be another house. So, I mean, we're working to fill this one up, but we are believing for the future. We know that there are people out there who need this. And so we just continue to work on that.
Hi, friends. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. I want to take this opportunity to make a quick plug for the 15th annual Gifts That Give Hope Gift Fair in Lancaster, Sunday, December 11th, 2022, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Farm and Home Center. Now more than ever, your support is needed to help our local businesses thrive and empower the people that need it most right here in Lancaster. You can find more information and links to participating vendors in the show notes for this podcast and our website, giftsthatgivehope.org. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for news and more information. See you at the fair.
I keep coming back to thinking about your forgiveness talk, and I think probably for all of us somewhere along our lives, there's people that we need to forgive, but also I probably would venture to say a big part of it is forgiving ourselves for things that we've made decisions, or we all, like I said earlier in the episode, we all have made decisions that we regret. They just might not all have life-altering impacts. So I think, you know, we all have times in our lives where we could forgive ourselves, and it's hard to do that.
And I would highly recommend R.T. Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness. We work through the workbook, 40 Days to Total Forgiveness, but he does talk about forgiving your enemies, forgiving your friends, forgiving yourself, and forgiving God. You say, what? I need to forgive God? Yeah. Even though he doesn't need to be forgiven, we need to forgive him because it's what we feel.
Right. We could all use a lot more grace and forgiveness, I think, in our day-to-day lives.
Amen. Yeah, and grace is a big part of it, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. And we learn grace within the program because we all bring our issues in, and sometimes there's clashes within the group in the house that become super learning experiences, frustrating learning experiences, but super learning experiences.
Right, yeah, when you live with people, you really have to navigate those.
Jonathan alluded to the fact that there are folks who leave prematurely, but they still have had implanted in them seeds that will continue to grow as they move forward. And in fact, we often see guys come back again saying, I could not let go of what I learned here. I needed to come back and finish this.
Yeah.
Or they went somewhere else and finished it. But God has a way. If you open up and allow him to begin to work in your life, he has a way of bringing it to fruition.
Right.
Sometimes we water, sometimes we reap, we plant and then we reap.
Right. So,
yes.
Right.
Good stuff.
Jonathan, was there anything else that you wanted to share with listeners about the Potter's House or anything that you think is important for people to know?
I think what Lanny had said about restoring the foundations, I had gone through some of that before previously, and it was one of the biggest keys and change in my life. And I think it's one of the more positive things that Potter's House has to offer. Because one of the things people don't realize is the spiritual side of things. And if you don't deal with your root issues and the root causes, like really in depth dealing with those, they have a way of sneaking back into your life and coming back, and you'll end up coming back around the same thing you've gone through before if you never get to that point of being willing to deal with it. And so my advice is you know, when you come, just continue to be open through the program. Don't get to a point where I've got this figured out, because one of the things I've learned in my life is every time I think I've got it figured out, usually something comes back up and reminds me just how small I really am.
Right.
And keeping yourself in that position of humbleness is the best tool you'll ever keep in your toolbox, is being willing to learn and continue to grow.
Yeah, all of us included. Yeah. Each day we have the opportunity to learn something new or see something from a different perspective.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you are struggling with addiction, hear Jonathan. It is not hopeless. There are places or people, if not us, there are places. Reach out, seek help. If you're walking with someone who's struggling with addiction, remember that isolation is a key issue in keeping them stuck in their addiction. Belonging, feeling that sense of the you care about me, not enabling, not just, you know, yeah, sure, here's the money, go. But saying, like Jonathan said, sticking with them through thick and thin. If they go and do their thing, they're going to do that. But when they're ready to come back, you're there and say, come on back. Yeah, I'm here for you. I love you. You know, if we can keep those two things in mind, that there is hope and that we need to provide belonging to those that are caught, I think we will see a huge difference in how our world deals with addiction.
Right. Well, thank you. And I would encourage listeners to check out the Potter's House online, to look for the Potter's House Lancaster, and also to look for them at the Gift Fair, and you can learn more about their work and support them.
We appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming, Lainey and Jonathan. You're welcome. Appreciate it.
That's all for this episode of the Gifts That Give Hope podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You can come meet and support all the guests on this podcast at this year's Gifts That Give Hope event, taking place on Sunday, December 11th, 2022, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Farm and Home Center. You can find more information and a complete list of charitable organizations, marketplace vendors, and food trucks participating this year at our Facebook page, Gifts That Give Hope Lancaster, on Instagram at Gifts That Give Hope Lancaster, and at our website, giftsthatgivehope.org. Thanks to Mark Mara for our theme music. The Gifts That Give Hope podcast is produced at So Good Media in Lancaster. Be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts to get a new episode of Gifts That Give Hope each week. Thanks again, and see you at the Gift Fair.